Study session, Mesa City Council for Thursday, November 7th, 2013. First item on the agenda is to hear a presentation discussed by direction on zoning code options for medical marijuana.
Good morning, Council. We find ourselves in kind of a somewhat unique situation. First, let me mention that the presentation that I'll give this morning is a little bit different than the one that was put into Legistar on Tuesday. There's been some changes to some of the slides, and I'll explain those as we go. The circumstance is basically this. There are, because of the rules that DHS has, there are five areas in the city called CHAs that DHS distributes certificates for medical marijuana dispensaries. We have four in the city that are operating now. There's one that there's a certificate been issued. However, it doesn't have any available territory or area in which it's able to locate a particular site. And so for that reason, there's kind of a quandary as to should we be able to provide some sort of site for that. I wanted to go over some of the existing location standards. These were things that the council established back in the winter of 2011. Basically, they determined that the minimum zoning districts were the LI and the GI district, light industrial and general industrial. And there are also some separation requirements that went with that. 1 mile between dispensaries, just under a half mile from substance abuse and treatment facilities, correctional transitional housing, about 1,200 feet from churches, parks, schools, and normal K through 12 elementary and high schools and middle schools, as well as 500 feet from daycare, preschools, and HOA open spaces. If you take a look at the map, it looks roughly like this. The areas, the kind of large, broad areas that you see, those are the CHAs that DHS has established. The area in the middle is the Mesa Central CHA. It's an area roughly between Country Club and Power, between Brown Road and Broadway Road. Within that particular area, there are no industrial sites, and the general plan doesn't call for any industrial sites in the long term. We were able to find locations. In fact, when they were going through the eligibility criteria and GHS was getting ready to distribute these, we found 60 eligible sites throughout the city where people actually filed applications, but those were in the other four CHAs. None of them were in the central one. Kind of taking a little bit closer look at that, what happened is that in order to be able to file the certificate for DHS, you had to have some sort of zoning clearance from some authority. The folks for the Mesa Central CHA went to the Maricopa County, and at the time that they filed their application, Maricopa County authorized medical marijuana in commercial districts. They received a clearance from them, and they used that as evidence that they had complied with zoning requirements when they filed their application. Well, they were the only people that filed. And so they were looking at a county site in the county island, generally, I believe, it was in the Dreamland Villa area. When the certificates were actually drawn, and by that time, the county had changed their zoning rules. And so in the course of doing that, they couldn't fulfill or get any kind of certificate of occupancy or do anything else they needed to get the final certification from DHS. And so they were left without a site. So they come to the city. The city doesn't have any industrial sites in this particular area, so they have a certificate to operate in the Mesa Central CHA, but they don't have any sites anymore.
Well, why didn't they go back to the county?
There's a suit that's been filed in that particular case, and they're discussing that in court, but that hasn't been resolved.
Did people file the suit against the county?
Yes. There's a suit pending in the county.
Because it's not that they don't have a site. It's just they have a site, and the county did something to them that changed it. So why are they coming to us to ask us to change, to accommodate them?
Because the majority of the land within this particular CHA is within the incorporated area.
Okay, but they did have a site in the county.
Yes.
It complied with county zoning at the time. County changed the rules, and so they're coming to us even though they had a site in the air. I just want to get straight why we're having this discussion right now.
That the
okay.
What happened
Oh, this is Lindsay Shuby. She's the zoning attorney that's representing the applicant. She might be able to explain a little bit more if you want.
Okay. I just want to figure out where we are.
Oh, okay. There's a different site that's involved in with the county suit. It's not these folks suing the county. It's a site involved in with Sun City. That's where the actual lawsuit was.
Oh, okay, not the same parties, but the same situation.
Similar situation, yes.
So, okay, these parties in Sun City had the same deal where the county changed zoning on them, and so they can't use it there. So they're suing because the county changed zoning. I know we're oversimplifying. Got the attorney bang over there. Well, we don't have to restate the case. I'm just wondering why, if we have county area and they had a site, it just seems a little strange that all of a sudden they're coming to us, like somehow we've created this situation when they had a site, but it sounds like the county changed the zoning on them, which made it unusual.
There's two jurisdictions within this particular trial.
Yeah, okay.
The majority of the jurisdiction is within the incorporated
area
of Mason.
All right.
They've asked us to take a look at our zoning. We have done that. And we've taken a look at some of the options that might be if the council decides that they want to consider a change in their policy. One option would be to consider rezoning. And if they did this would be the district that they would request rezoning to is the ID district. There's two available ones. It's an infill district, both the ID1 and the ID2. Another one, what's changed with this is a little bit is that when we were initially developing this particular recommendation, we had thought that there wouldn't be any text changes to the zoning code. We've gone back and taken a look at the code, and I can't say that anymore. There's a provision in the medical marijuana ordinance that specifically limits medical marijuana dispensaries to the LI and the GI district. I had forgotten about that. I've been using my checklist instead of actually looking at the code, and it's a mistake on my part. However, but it's a relatively minor change. If they choose to do a rezoning, we can do a concurrent text amendment that would follow the zoning case through and be basically brought before council approximately the same time.
Can I back up just a little bit?
Sure.
I'm sorry I can't get off this because I'm sitting here wondering how come we're being asked to solve everybody's problem. I look here on your map, and it looks like there's available land and zoning literally on the boundary between the South Chaw and the Middle Chaw, whatever you want to call that.
Mm-hmm.
State made these boundaries. Can't the state issue an exception and say, okay, you can have two in that because it will still serve the area?
We took a look at that.
We took a look at that, or the state would take a look at that?
Staff took a look at that and made that recommendation to the state. When the staff was in the process of developing these rules for the council's consideration.
Wait, which staff? Our staff or state
our staff?
I'm sorry. Okay, our staff.
City
gotcha.
Staff. All planning right. staff. And we understood the possibility of being able to reallocate one dispensary from one CHAW to another CHAW, that possibility existed. And that was one of the considerations that went into this. However, what's happened is by the time the certification process took place and the certificates were issued and all those things came back to the city, the problem was the state changed their rules. And they no longer authorize reallocation.
Okay. Why don't they change the rules back?
Well, I talked to the state yesterday, and they're considering, or they're looking at a review of the rules. That's not one of the ones that they're looking at.
I mean, I can get back to it. Okay, the county changed their rules. They had a site in the county, and the county changed their rules. The state won't change their rules, and so they want us to change our rules.
Yeah.
Why should I, as a council member, feel obligated to accommodate someone when nobody else will accommodate them? That's the basic question I'm asking. And Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, as much as I hate to admit it, I think if what we're looking at is a CHAW and that we're supposed to be able to provide at least an area where they can go, and from the sound of it, it sounds like we've created a CHAW that doesn't have any viable.
We didn't create the CHAWs. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. They created the CHAW. We now have a CHAW.
Well, that's a big deal.
Area.
It's a big deal. We didn't create the CHAW.
No.
We got cha-cha-cha here. We weren't cha-chaing.
I guess they need to CHAW on this
Councilor
a little
Glover
bit more.
I'm sorry. You didn't finish yours. Go ahead.
It just seems to be for two things. One, I think we have an area that there's a problem with, and if we can make an adjustment to finish this off, then I think it just makes it easier for everybody. Secondly, and it's a difference between having it in the county or having it in the city. I think I'd rather have this user in the city just because it, I think we have better resources in order to manage the safety around it. We have better patrol, we have more officers, we have zoning officials that are astute and will be able to manage this. If this goes into the county and becomes a problem, then we're just not going to be able to manage it at all because it's outside of our jurisdiction. So I'd rather us handle it. I think we can do it better than kicking the can back over the other side of the fence.
Okay. Councilman Glover?
Quick question for you, Gordon. So would this infill district just be applicable for this CHA because there is no industrial zoning, or could it be used in another CHA? For example, if a dispensary goes under in the South CHA and someone else comes in and they don't like that location, could they choose another one and then try to use the infill district?
One of the things that we would consider in the text amendment that we would have to do to medical marijuana is creating criteria by which to evaluate it as part of the infill district. And one of the criterion we would consider is that if it's used for medical marijuana in an infill district, that it would only be considered upon basically exhaustion of the fact that there are no industrial sites within that particular CHA.
So by process of elimination, you're saying you
yes.
would...
If you can't put it in an industrial district, yeah. in an LI or a GI, then ID is the fallback.
Now, when you define when you can't, as a matter of fact or a matter of preference?
It would be the council's preference in doing the rezoning.
Well, our preference, not the applicant's preference. I don't want someone coming here and say, I couldn't find a site that met my needs. I know the zoning's there, but it just wasn't a nice enough building. It's not a matter of the applicant coming in and saying, I don't like the buildings in that zoning district. It's a matter of if it's available, then you better find a building in that because you're not going to be able to use the infill exception in that CHA, right?
Yes, and we could draft the code in a way such that it says if there is no land in a CHA with a industrial zone. So what you're concerned about, Mayor, we can address that. So it's not that, hey, I would rather be in an infill rather than an industrial, or I don't like the industrial. If there's any land zoned in the CHA industrial, that they will have to locate there. Infill will not be an option.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
Since we're in the zoning, we're looking at options, we're looking at zoning. Nothing has prevented these folks from going and finding a site, securing it, seeking rezoning to be able to upzone it or to get industrial zoning. I noticed in the staff report, it's been implied that staff would probably not be very open-minded to something like that.
This is true.
We've had folks come in all the time and say, hey, I want to put this use in this area. I need to rezone it. And that's a pretty standard process, isn't it?
Mayor, Councilmember Fincher, that's correct. And so certainly nothing prohibits anybody from applying and coming to council. And so it's ultimately council's decision for the general plan and zoning change. Part of the question here, though, is while there may in general be areas within the overall CHA that could be considered for industrial zoning, when you look at the map that shows all the restricted areas because of the locational requirements, you look at just what's left. In those particular areas, staff has a difficult time seeing areas that we feel like we would recommend approval of
right.
those changes. But it's still possible for them to make that application.
Yeah, and Mayor, if I can follow up.
Go ahead.
So we need to overcome the staff's reluctance. And I can tell you that the applicant, some other legal representative, came in and visited with me about the East Main site. I said, what can we do to help you? Just so we're on the record, so everybody knows, however it's printed up in the future, nobody's trying to obstruct anything. In fact, I feel like we've, at least for my perception for District 2, trying to be accommodative. I've said, well, maybe we can work with staff to streamline it, but I'm told there's a deadline now and the timelines won't work. Why wasn't somebody here 6 months ago and getting us through a rezoning process and it would have helped? I've told them I would have helped and see what we can do to get it done. So there's a lot there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and I just don't want anybody to walk away as they look at this and think somehow we're trying to be obstructive in Mesa. Four of the five applicants have found sites and are getting ready and going, and this is just an oddity. You hear, I appreciate the mayor's perspective. All these other folks are being inflexible. I tell you, from the first meeting I had with them, I said, how can we work with you? Not trying to obstruct you in any way possible. So, but some of the obstructions, I think, are kind of maybe in staff and some other areas, and how are we going to get this done? So just a perspective.
Yeah.
Mr. Brady.
I think the challenge we have, too, is that, you know, we look at the locations of land use based on, you know, compatible uses and how we lay out things for the city. Yeah. And then the state, for I guess lack of another process, overlaid these CHAs. Well, CHAs have nothing to do with land use. They have to do with, you know, the way healthcare is provided throughout the state and then doing an assessment of study of health conditions. And so I think that's the dilemma we put in, and I think the cities did it the right way. We used zoning to establish, just like we would for any type of business, to the vice mayor's point, is we look at this from a land use perspective, compatible uses, how it relates with, you know, whether it's business or industrial, residential. And I think the point is we're trying to tell the state and other folks is because you didn't you just kind of took something off the shelf. You didn't really have anything that kind of had a logical relevance to the use. They should be the ones that should find a way to be more flexible and accommodate. Because a CHAs, just because you'd have multiple dispensaries in a single CHA, really doesn't kind of pretend any logic. It certainly does from a zoning perspective. So that's
I don't think there was logic. I think they just wanted a way to disperse.
Accommodation. Yeah.
Well, they just wanted to disperse the. Right. They had to draw a line somewhere.
Right.
And so they said, here, here, here.
Yeah.
Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the fairest way is to approach using the infill district issue. I think it allows the council and the applicant and staff the best control to address the situation without creating unintended consequences of revising our zoning code that could create broader areas of eligibility. I think we really have the issue just with this one particular district, which was again created to monitor health purposes, to monitor cancer clusters, and it has nothing to do with land use. And I think that there's a certain, I mean, as our responsibility as elected officials, we also look to see the particular law that's being implemented here is something that was approved by Arizona voters. And I think that residents throughout the city have a reasonable expectation of reasonable access to the dispensaries without having to drive from one end of the city to the other. And so that's just that's a part of my perspective from when we looked at this in committee and today. And so I would hope that we would move forward with the infill district option that's presented by staff.
Thank you. Councilman Luna.
Councilman Summer brought up a good point in terms of the resources that we have available to ensure that the safety of our citizens. Is there anyone here that can speak to that in terms of how these other dispensaries have worked in Mesa and the community is safe and some of those issues?
The gentleman from the police department's coming up, but one of the things that was built into the ordinance was part of the registration process includes the applicant providing their security plan to us. And what we've done from the planning staff is cooperate by sending the security plan to the police department and allow them to initiate contact through the community policing staff back to the police department or to the dispensary and work out their security through that.
Good morning. One of the issues that initially arose with the marijuana dispensaries was the fact we had so many of them pop up, giving the appearance as though they were legal, and most of the ones that popped up in Mesa were illegal. So we conducted several operations into those different dispensaries, and we've pretty much shut down every one of them with illegal purchases. We had robberies at them, burglaries, numerous calls for service, but those were all at the illegal sites. With regard to the legal addresses that you were asking about, the Kind Meds facility at Country Club and Baseline, the address itself was responsible for 172 calls for service. But that is the address in and of itself, and it's difficult for us at times to differentiate when we go back into our statistics to look and discern when it's in a strip mall, specifically if it was related to that business, particularly if it was, for instance, an alarm call or something to that effect. The calls for service at most of the other facilities were what I would call rather benign calls. a lot of alarms that were cited, a couple of assaults. As I said again, the Kind Meds was the most staggering, at least in numbers. We had a couple of stolen vehicle reports, again, but that can be attributed to the parking lot thereof as opposed to a specific business.
Chief, just looking at those stats, because I know they're hard to discern between one occupancy and another within a single building, did you just do a before and after occupancy, the number of crimes and the type of crimes that occurred before they located there and the number of crimes that occurred after?
Well, what we looked at, sir, was we just anticipated that this might be a question that the council would come up with. So we went by date. So this has been both before and after.
So what, another was there
12-month period of time. I can't tell you that because of that business, we have had an increase in calls for service specific to that business. I can tell you with the illegal businesses, they definitely drove crime. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that without the proper security measures in place, without question, in my 25 years of experience, you will invite crime to the location, particularly armed robbery.
Do we not apply SEPTED principles to these particular facilities?
Well, my understanding, and I'm not well-versed in what the state has dictated or stipulated to these businesses as they open, but it is my understanding, at least in the national standard, that it is defined the security measures they'll have to have in place that would lend to a greater SEPTED environment. But again, I'll tell you that the crime that is most invited to those locations is armed robbery. The most disconcerting crime, that would be.
What I like about this is that they have the stats readily available. It kind of goes to my point. I think if we're going to have these things in our within our planning area, I think it'd be best that we had them in our governance area as well, because the Mesa Police Department is well adept at monitoring the statistics, patrolling the areas, and we can handle problems far more quickly and effectively than if they were in the county.
We're vigilant with these locations. If we think for the least bit that they're doing something illegal, we'll conduct operations to discern that.
Excellent.
Vice Mayor.
So Councilmember Kavanaugh, who I appreciate, has a great way of presenting things. He gives a reasonable argument, and I've asked myself that over the last couple of days. It seems like a quick, easy fix to be able to get it done. The only problem is, in fairness, and he mentioned this, is it fair to the other four people that have had to go and secure industrial sites that are probably more expensive than a vacant retail? Now, if we were to make an exception for this, now they get a Main Street front address versus these other folks. So I look at it in fairness and go, now we didn't create this problem. We have not obstructed in any way. But by putting a fix, do we now give advantage to one over the others that I don't, maybe is not fair?
I guess I'd have two answers for that. The first answer would be that the criterion that we're proposing to incorporate into the text amendment would basically say the ID district is a fallback. They have to basically say there are no industrial districts in there. So they have to exhaust all of those resources first. This is basically a last gasp effort to sit here.
That's what the Vice Mayor is asking. I think Vice Mayor says we understand. Right. Let's be honest. We're setting up something because someone can't fulfill the current zoning in this middle CHA. And therefore, they're going to end up in a storefront. So last gasp, whatever, we're doing special legislation to accommodate a group of people in a specific zone. And I think he raises a good point. By doing that, have we put the others who have more onerous requirements at a disadvantage? Did I restate that?
Thank you.
And so by trying to solve one problem, have we, once again, I don't think there are unintended consequences. I think there are some consequences that we know will happen, and there's a difference between being tucked away in an industrial zone and being in a strip center on Main Street. And the fact is, if you look at this CHA, it is It is about 8 miles long and about a mile and a half wide, 2 miles wide. So the fact of the matter is that, you know, even the way they set the CHAW certainly wasn't to create ease of use, because if you're in the middle CHAW and your CHAW is even down by Drumville, you got to drive a long way to get that way, or you're going to go north or south to somewhere closer. So I think the vice mayor brings up a good point. Councilmember Summers?
I'm just curious, is if we were to do what Councilmember Kavanaugh suggests and allow it in a different zoning, can we set up a different set of rules for that as where it comes to signage or septet principles or anything like that? That if they are going to go into an infill district, then they have to have increased security measures, they can't have certain types of signs, those kind of things, to try to reduce the...
We would have to look at Councilmember Summers, we'd probably have to look at the sign question, because we've got those speech issues. But as far as the septet principles and the development standards that would be associated with that, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So maybe one of the things we might want to look at is how can we balance that out so there isn't that difference
to
in the...
We're trying
try to balance out the difference in the advantage.
The existing medical marijuana zoning requirements tries to address that to a certain extent now. There are certain operational requirements that go in that. For example, there's no outdoor seating. There's no... they can't have a dispenser or a vending machine. They can't have a drive-through. All those things, we've kind of built those into it anyway. So if there's no delivery, for example, from these types of things. So from that standpoint, we've done that. We can incorporate something similar with the operational requirements if we use the infill district.
Debbie, the vice mayor caused me to think of something else. When we started this, we set our rules up based on land use. By changing the rules, now there's not a land use concern, because what we said is before, as a land use policy, I don't know if the word defended is right, but basically it is, with this use in this type of property, which is why we relegated it to general industrial and light industrial. That's a land use decision, which we're absolutely able to do. But now what we're saying is, well, actually, we're really not offended by that. Isn't that what we're saying? Because in this area, because the state drew some arbitrary lines, all of a sudden we're not offended by this land use from a land use standpoint, because we're going to allow it in an infill. Debbie, what would cause somebody in one of those other districts to come back and say, well, wait a second, now you have discriminated on me because you put me at a disadvantage, and you can't come back and claim that pure land use decisions are what made that, because it's obvious you're not offended by this. Why can't I, if I'm in the South CHAW, now go into an infill district in there? How does this last resort protect us from somebody coming back in any of these other CHAWs and saying, no, you have to treat me equally and allow me to go in there, to go into any other place? Will we be challenged on that last resort approach?
Mayor, obviously I can't tell whether we'll be challenged, because anybody can file a lawsuit. But I think, Gordon, correct me if I'm wrong, the intent with establishing the infill is that you will allow uses that are not currently allowed in those areas because they're difficult places to locate, where we want to encourage redevelopment. So going
through
the
infill... This is how we encourage redevelopment, but...
Well, no, but well, going through the redevelopment or the infill process...
I thought she said reefer. I swear she said reefer. Going through the reefer.
Going through a rezone requesting infill designation allows you to use that property in a way that it's not now currently permitted under the zoning laws. So...
Once again,
that is one of the intents.
Once again, though, that's a land use approach. Let's be honest. This is not a land use decision. This is a medical services, because of what the state did and they're unwilling to change. I'm looking at that line. Here's where I have an issue. I'm looking at that line on Broadway, and there's about 2 miles, literally, on the south side of Broadway where you could put these things. But if you're on the north side of Broadway, all of a sudden, you can't go in there. I mean, that's unless I'm looking at this map wrong. There are several locations literally on the south side of Broadway, which is, and the line goes down the middle of Broadway. Am I looking at the map wrong?
Just to clear a little bit more definition on the map. The areas that have the kind of gray cloud on those are areas that are within a protected area. The blue areas on the south side of Broadway are generally clouded. There's usually something that prevents that particular industrial district from being used on the south, if you're talking about the Mesa South Chaw, which is why most of the applications.
Which is more offensive to us from a land use? The fact that it's within some of those arbitrary distances, or the fact that it's in a light industrial as opposed to a commercial? Well, I think that's a question we have to ask. I'm less offended.
I guess the other question, Mayor, that I maybe would respond to that with is that in looking at medical marijuana holistically as an entire use, you have not only the dispensing capability of it, but you also have cultivation. Right. You also have infusion. The cultivation and the infusion activities are truly more akin to industrial activities. They are, because you're dealing with you're growing the plants, generally in kind of an industrial atmosphere, generally with hydroponics, and then you also have the infusion, which you have basically bakery type of operations or something else where you're taking the material and you're making something else with it, like a lotion or a cream or something along that line, including or baked goods. The dispensary activity, if the infill district were to limit it to just the dispensing of that particular activity, it is more akin to an office, a medical office use, or a commercial use. So from a land use perspective, you're getting back more to the commercial activity than you are to the industrial activity.
But couldn't we assign the same logic to the distance requirements, the separation requirements?
Sure.
And still have the business. I mean, really, because those are clouded, it's not that there isn't industrial space available in the middle CHA. It's that the industrial space happens to fall under the gray cloud.
Right.
So it's the distance that is creating the problem, not the lack of zoning.
There's still a lack of zoning in that particular CHA.
No, there's not a lack of zoning. There is industrial zoning in the middle CHA. It does exist, right?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. There is no industrial zoning in the entire in middle CHA.
Correct.
Well, in the downtown...
Mayor, well, sure there is. Councilmember Fenter, in the downtown area, it's the downtown version of industrial zoning. There's not the actual IL.
It's not the LI district or the GI district. It's the DB2 district.
Right. So there's the use. There is just the designation. All right. Okay.
No. And there's no general plan designation for industrial in the entire CHA either.
Except for in that area in downtown, which is really a...
The downtown district.
Okay.
So just a quick thought.
Yeah, Vice Mayor.
So we've had Chief Silbert with us today and says we can expect increase in armed robberies or some sort of dangerous crime in that. And so I just looked at it practically, that it through preliminary hearings, they've given two sites. One right there at approximately Stapley in Maine,
yeah.
And then one out about the 6300 block of East Maine. Two very challenged areas for different, a lot of the same reasons, a lot of vacancy, a lot of crime, anything. So in an infill, if I heard the goal correctly, we're trying to get a use and get some vibrancy, get some things. Does that, understanding the challenges with dispensaries or what historically, are we truly achieving the goal of trying to revitalize and make more vibrant those two areas? It would seem a contradiction.
Mayor, Councilmember Fenter, the infill plan that the applicant would be required to file has to take into account more than just the medical marijuana dispensary. It has to take into account the challenges that you're talking about, including alternative uses. If for some reason, for example, the dispensary fails at that particular location, there has to be alternatives available within that zoning district other than just medical marijuana dispensaries. So we would anticipate that it would also accommodate things like just general office, medical office, possibly the neighborhood commercial types of retail uses, restaurants, the other types of things that you would normally associate with a commercial infill district. So, that's what we would anticipate, and that's what we would look for in terms of the submittal from the applicant.
Okay. I still don't know how, if we change this, that there isn't a challenge that other people could raise, because I think we're really trying to bend, and I understand why we're trying to bend, but we're really bending land use logic to try and accommodate a situation that we did not create for a policy we had absolutely no involvement in, either beforehand or afterhand. I guess, yeah, Councilmember Summer. And I mean, I know, well, we need to map these back, so let's do what we can to make them work.
Mayor, I'd like to get some more information before we make a decision on this from City Attorney. One, I'm interested in knowing what the state law says are the city's obligations in providing suitable locations within each of the CHAWs that have been established, I think would be the first thing. And then also the mayor's concerns are valid, and our vice mayor's concerns are valid, about if we were to set up some law that says it has to be light industrial unless there is no light industrial, and then it can go into these infill districts. What is the risk potential? Is there any case history where another city has been sued for a similar action? So that probably will take you some time to look up. If we could get that kind of information before we make a decision, I mean, how pressing is this? We have to make it today. If we can come back in a couple of weeks.
The applicant their deadline is August of 2014, that they have to be open and operational. If there's a rezoning involved, then you have to basically take
August of 2014. I mean, we can take a few weeks. We're going to NLC next week. Allow the city attorney to do a little bit more background work legally, and then come back in a couple of weeks, if that's the pleasure of the mayor, to do that. And then if we want any more crime statistics out of PD, we can get that. But quite frankly, I don't think that's the reason. I mean, other than having our police department be the one that's going to be monitoring that, which gives me comfort, and I think the residents comfort. I mean, when you look at robberies and these things with it, they're going to get robbed, and we know that. But, do a Google search on pharmacy robberies. You know, there's two suspects for 21. There's another suspect that's hit 16. They're after OxyContin. They're after money. They're going to get hit. Pharmacies are getting hit. These things are going to get hit. It's who do you want? Who do you want responding to those? Who do you want to try to monitor those? Who do you want to try to prevent those crimes? And I'm sorry, I want Mesa PD doing that for me. So that's just my perspective on that.
Okay, let me state one thing. I just, through the miracle of modern technology, apparently Councilmember Richens was sitting in an airport following us on streaming. And he wanted to, he just texted me and said, will you state my position against any change? I think he's been pretty vocal before. So just so it's on the record that Councilmember Richens, and now he's getting on a plane, would be opposed to any change. I don't know that maybe others are ready to move ahead, but I don't think it's the end of the world if we push this. So 2 weeks would be the next study session? Do we have any objections if we come back and maybe we can answer some of these questions? Because I'm not feeling comfortable that we're not creating a situation that may come back to bite us if we really try and squeeze this into some extent. I understand the logic behind wanting to accommodate. I'm personally, frankly, I think the applicant should go to the state, push the case, push it hard, because I think, not allowing exceptions, everybody else has said no, and now we're being asked to squeeze around, and I think I'm not comfortable that we're not putting ourselves in a position down the road that'll come back to bite us. I mean, remember, we've been down this road with zoning and uses just recently, and so I think people should understand why we might be just a little bit gun shy about forging ahead with something. It didn't work out very well for us, and we learned. And I'm not saying this is the same case; it's very different. No. But I think we should be sure. And there's some questions need to be answered. Is that okay if we bring it back in 2 weeks? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Next item is here presentation, discuss and provide direction on development of Barry and Peggy Goldwater Library and Archives.
Good morning again, Mayor, members of council. Let me introduce Andrew Clegg, who's a member of the economic development team, helping to keep some coordination to this project. Doug Signor, who I think you all know, and since the last time Doug's been here, Doug's actually joined a different architectural firm. He's now a member of Gensler and Associates, so congratulations on that. And I believe Judy Eisenhower is not going to be able to join us this morning, as she has a previous engagement. The purpose this morning is to present a lease and development agreement. It's one document rolled together, development agreement and lease, for your consideration. And we'd like to be able to go over a few of the details. You will actually vote on the development agreement slash lease on the 18th of November. Okay. A little bit of background on the development agreement itself, or on the project itself. Pretty self-explanatory. The key date I'm going to focus in on is the January 16th, is when we executed the MOU of this year, which identified the property at the corner of McDonald and First Avenue. With that, the next piece that you see there is just a review of the proposed development. It's a 40,000 square foot building. It's about a $30 million investment. There will be approximately 57,000 visitors a year and about 25 employees, and I believe they are full and part-time. I don't believe they're full-time equivalents, if I remember correctly.
Full-time equivalents.
They're full-time equivalents? Okay. So that's the history of the project. The next slide goes right to the site plan. Now, this has changed a little bit from the last time we've talked about this. And Doug, why don't you take a minute and talk about how it's actually slid a little further south along McDonald?
Yes. The graphic that you're looking at obviously shows north up on the plan. Again, it's at the southeast corner of South McDonald Street and West First Avenue. The post-shade area you're seeing to the north end is the footprint of the three-story structure, which again would have a minimum of 40,000 square feet and ultimately could grow to 50,000 square feet. We have met and discussed with the adjacent Encore development about how the two projects and developments would interface, particularly along its east edge. And after going through that process, the cleanest, simplest way to manage the parking is to hold it south of the building. We are required a minimum 50 parking spaces per year, new form-based zoning. And then we need to accommodate various emergency and trash vehicles and their turning radiuses as they move through the parking area. So we, in fact, have a double aisle now, which we did not have in an earlier plan. Net result of all this is we're proposing a property that's 235 feet width in the east-west direction and 285 feet in the north-south direction, which equates to just over 1.5 acres. So that's kind of the latest thinking that seems to work for everyone involved.
Okay. So there's a quick summary of the changes to the site plan. And the development agreement slash lease is a 30-year agreement. It calls for the lease of the land for a dollar a year. Now, they will then turn around and build that $30 million building. They will operate it. They will fill it with archives. And then 6 months after certificate of occupancy, so within that six-month window, deed the property back to the city. Thus, we'll own land and building. They have asked us to contribute towards utilities. We have proposed $80,000 a year for all utilities, water, sewer, gas, electric, and solid waste on an annual basis for the first 5 years and $50,000 a year for the rest of the term, years 6 through 30. That's the basic summary of the what's in the agreement. Again, I think the next steps would be approval of the lease on the 18th. The Library and Archives will continue their fundraising efforts. And one note that on by December 14th in the agreement, there's actually a statement that calls for vertical construction defined for framing above the foundation walls. So there is a sense of urgency to move forward and push that envelope, there is an opportunity for a one-year extension beyond that, as written in the document.
Okay. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you. This question maybe for Councilmember Glover, who's on the board of the organization. I'm just curious as to how fundraising efforts have gone, if they've set targets for this current year or the next year, things like that, because when we started the process, as you recall, at least their 990 forms indicated they had zero funds raised. But I know that they had initiated fundraising efforts early this year, and I was curious as to how that is proceeding.
Well, I know that they have based it on online fundraising as well to go to the website, and then we'll be hosting a slate of fundraisers starting in December and then working into the new year as well.
Great. Thank you. Okay. That concludes the formal part of it. Questions?
Any other questions? Thank you for the update. We'll look forward on the 18th.
On the 18th for action.
Thanks, Dyle. The new site plan looks really efficient and nice, and it looks like
simple, clean, works.
That'll make for it's going to be a stunning corner and line of street with the streetscape between with the church, then Encore, and that'll be a real stunning.
And just
view.
Reminder, in our bond program, we approved the improvements or some streetscaping on First Avenue also. Good. So we'll be able to do some things in the front there too.
Councilman Summers?
Are we going to be getting construction fees, sales taxes, permit fees, all those? So that's still collected. Do we have any idea what that is? How much?
Well, you have not quantified it at this point.
Okay. Can you do that and just send it over to me?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Doug.
Look forward to it. Okay, reports on meetings, conferences attended. Mr. Brady. Oh, yeah, nobody had anything, so Mr. Brady. Oh, job orders. Once again, thank you, Councilmember Glover.
Dang you for reading the agenda.
This pesky written agenda. You're such a stickler for detail. Any questions on the job order contracting? Okay. Now, Mr. Brady.
So we will not be having a study session next Thursday. I think that's the...
You don't want to have it yet.
In LC.
No. So we'll be... but we'll have... the next council meeting is on the 18th. So we'll put the agendas out. So we won't have a chance to review it before then. But if council members have questions, please feel free to call staff during that time. But our next council meeting will be on November 18th. Thank you.
And the study session prior to that, we'll be able to actually go over the agenda. We will go over the agenda. So,
well, no.
Because the study meeting immediately before the council.
Oh, of that,
not
on that
Thursday.
Day. Say yes.
So
yes,
you're
going
to need
that.
To ask questions. You're going to have to phone in.
We can also do it on that Monday afternoon. Right. Afternoon. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Good. Would be remiss if we didn't, before we ended the meeting, thank so much the citizens of Mesa for once again, agreeing to invest in our community. It really was humbling to see the results come in and to see how Mesa citizens stepped up. And we this council, like just speaking on their behalf, does not take lightly what you've done to entrust us with these funds. And I think I'm confident. And someone asked me this. I said, if you go back and look at this council and this staff's track record, I will, all transparency, openness, open up whatever we have asked for in the last 5.5 years. I'm very, very confident that you would be pleased that we have been wise stewards of the money and we've used it for what we said we were going to use it for. We've saved money. There has been no redirection or anything, and which comes up a lot. And I believe that's why the citizens have entrusted us with this next bit of money. So we're going to commit to do the same thing. We can see the actual benefits of investment. We had the great announcement of Apple on Monday, and that was a culmination of actually activities of which bond funds played an absolutely integral role. Without the bond funds from 2008, Apple doesn't happen. It's that simple. And so, good things do happen when you make good investments, and I think improving our infrastructure, improving our public safety coverage and our capabilities is a good investment in the community. So thank you, citizens of Mesa. Very, very appreciate it.
Mayor, just
I
apologize, Councilor Kavanaugh. I couldn't find my notes, but tomorrow, Friday, November 8th, is the coffee with council member Upper Iowa location, 1361 South Alma School Road, from 7:30 to 8:30. Is that correct?
And when do you start your toy drive?
Oh, that's the next.
Today.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our annual toy drive for Cardin Children's Hospital starts today, and we have got the containers out to pick up toys all throughout the city. You can go on our website and find the locations. Just had great confirmation from the East Valley Institute of Technology that their student government has once again committed to buy toys this year. They've increased their contribution amount to $1,250 worth of toys that they're going to be purchasing later this month. But we've got, again, great cooperation from the community, and we have at least 10 or 11 sites throughout the city where people can donate. And I also wanted to remind you, we do have a public safety committee meeting coming up next, and as I understand it, this will be the start of us working to have our council studies or committee meetings televised.
We're doing this one first.
This one first as a test.
We'll see.
So viewers want to see it live. They should.
This one is live.
Stay tuned.
So a lively public safety committee meeting. All right.
Some of the others don't hold.
Motion to adjourn, Councilman Glover. Second from Councilman Luna. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.